Good morning, Rabbosai. It is welcome to our Sunday morning shir in Hilchos Evan Ha'ezer Shulchan Aruch. We are in Simen Chav Gimel. We just started Simen Chav Gimel, and it's discussing the Isser of Motzi Zera Levatala, of Hashchasa Zera. Last week, we tried to find different sources in the Torah, because we don't have any place explicitly where it says, don't do it. We have the story of Erev Onan, where the Pesukim are pretty explicit as far as what their Avera was and why Hashem killed them, but it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah explicitly that one cannot be Shavach Zelev Atala. Last week we saw a number of possibilities. We saw that maybe it's of the most easy to understand was that it's a bittel of Pru Revu, because a person is Shavach Zelev Atala, so they're not going to be able to have children. We saw maybe it's a violation of Lo Sinaf. A little bit of a weird application of Lasinaf, because that's with a married woman, that's adultery. This isn't adultery, this is just, you know, Aleitzim V'Avanim. Good morning, Safrir. We saw another pin that says maybe it's Bal Tashchis. That was interesting. We saw there's Bal Tashchis of your guf. You can't destroy your body. So this is an extension. If there's, I can't destroy, I can't throw away, you know, food, or I can't destroy a tree, I can't destroy my body, and destroying Zera would be an extension of that. And the fourth shita that we saw, that maybe it's included in the, when the Torah says, V'neshmarta mikol davara, you should avoid bad things. And the rest, the next pasuk or two says, if a person has a nocturnal emission, so it could be that that nocturnal emission is the equivalent of the V'neshmarta mikol davara. So it's not so clear what the Isser is. I'd like to share with you one more thought about what the Isser Bechlal is. It seems that there is an Isser, we just don't know where it's from. Whenever you have a lot of answers to one question, that often means that there's no good answer. Because if there's one good, clear answer, you wouldn't need four different answers among the poskim. So if you see a lot of answers in the post, that already tells you that it's just not a clear, none of them are really good. So I found here in the Shalos Hatshuvos Pnei Yehoshua, I'm assuming it's the regular Pnei Yehoshua whom we're familiar with, but I was a little, you know, curious. That's what I'm not sure, because I never really saw the Shalos Hatshuvos Pnei Yehoshua. So you're saying that the Pnei Yehoshua's grandfather had the Shalos Hatshuvos Pnei Yehoshua? Okay, so that would make sense, because that was what I wanted to say to you, that I wasn't familiar with the Shalos Hatshuvos of the Pnei Yehoshua. So here, I found it online, so I guess that's perhaps what it is. So he says something interesting. He says, if we say, remember we said, I'll just show you on the screen the four possibilities that it could be, right? The possible issue is Losinaf, Bitul of Purvu. If we say it's Losinaf, says the Pnei Yehoshua, if it's Lo Sinaf, that should be Gilei Arayos, right? Lo Sinaf is Gilei Arayos, adultery is Gilei Arayos. If you say that being Shavach Zelev Atala is Gilei Arayos, is Lo Sinaf, then it should be Gilei Arayos. We never heard of such a thing. We never heard that it's a Yehoreg Val Yavar to do Shrichus Zera. So, if you look at the top over here, if you say it's Lo Sinaf, look at the top left corner of this section, the Mashmah to have a Gilei Arayos. If that's the case, that doesn't make sense. And if that's the case, belief bilti suffik shu asmachta bi'alma, then it must be, if you're saying that the source is Lo Sinaf, it doesn't mean literally, it must be just an asmachta bi'alma, ukma shukasati. And he says, because if you look at the Rambam, it sounds like it's not even an Issa Doraisa. Because, why is it not, why, how could I prove that it's not an Issa Doraisa? Because if you look at the Rambam, second line, Daha Rambam, hevi davar zem per chaf aleph mihilchas yisurei bia. And when the Rambam writes, what is the punishment, or how we react when somebody is Shavach Zelev Atala? The Rambam v'lo kaza shalok and al zeh, kamo third line, kamo shakaz v'chol hadvarim shevisham. The Rambam lists a whole bunch of things that you get malchus on, and he doesn't include this as one of the things for which a person gets malchus. Not only that, v'afil makas mardus lo kasav, ki'im benidui hu yoshev. We're going to see that Rambam shortly. The Rambam says that a person who does this, he's benidui. He's in Nidu, in some kind of Chayrim. Whether you have to put him in Chayrim or he's automatically in Chayrim, that we'll see shortly. So, why isn't there Makas Midaraisa, if it would be a Los Essay? And if it would be an Issur Drabban, and a bona fide Issur Drabban, then it should be a Makas Mardus, like you get by all the other things that Chacham made a Takana. Aval, third to last line, at the end of the line, Aval bedavar zeh she'enu tikkun chacham mizal. It's not a takana drabanan, therefore you're not going to get Marcus Madis. Rak mikra, it's just from the psukim, it's muchach, it's clear shu avon gadol. We don't have an explicit iser. It's not a takana drabanan. But we know from the psukim that it's not a good thing. K'moshim etzinu harbi yisurim ke'elu shahare she'em evu'arim b'nevi'im v'ksuvim shu aser k'on lashon hara. Right? There's no explicit place where it's clear that the Torah says don't speak Lashon Hara. But we know from many places in the Torah that Lashon Hara is bad. So he says it's not clear what the real Isser is. We just know that it is wrong, but we don't really have a good source for where it's from. Okay. Now, I showed you four possible sources for what the Isser of Hashchas Yisrael Vatala are. And we're going to find some gigantic nafkaminas. This is going to be a very geschmack exercise in figuring out in the lumdus in terms of what is the iser, and if this is this, then these halachas will apply. If this is that, some different halachas apply. Watch what some of the nafkaminas are going to be. Most of them are going to be based on the second one, on bittul pruvu. Because if you assume that the iser of hashchas zel v'atala is a knocking out, is an active destruction or an active, what's the right word, bittul of the assay of pruvu, well, that's going to mean a lot of things. That's going to mean that if you don't have the mitzvah puravu on you, then there's no issur of hashchas zel v'atala. So therefore, Rabbi Osai, is a woman mitzuva in the issur of hashchas zel v'atala? Well, it should depend. If she is not obligated in the mitzvah, if the issur of is puravu, and she's not in the mitzvah of puravu, then maybe she doesn't have an issur to be mashchis zera. So therefore, if the husband, let's say, deposited his zera in her, maybe there's no iser for her to do anything about it. She could destroy it in any which way. Let's see. I have four nafkaminas that I've identified, I mean, through looking at the... I'll tell you where I took most of today's material. Today's material is mostly from a sefer called the Otzer HaPoskim. The Otzer HaPoskim is a thick volume on Evan HaEzer. There are about 20 such volumes on Evan HaEzer. 20 such volumes. So this is how many pages? This is close to 400 pages. There are 20 such volumes. There's 8,000 pages on Evan HaEzer, and it's basically a compilation on sif by sif of all the tshuvas that have been written in the past few hundred years that relate to each line in the Shulchan Aruch. So he has a lot on this specific topic, and I took a lot from him. So that's going to be one of my go-to svarim in the next for the next sugya. So let's look at some nafkaminas. Are women bound by the iser of hashchas zera? What if you have a man who already fulfilled puravu? If we say the whole iser be mashchas zera is be mevata puravu, hello, he already has a son and a daughter. Maybe he's allowed to do hashchas zera levatala because it's puravu, but he did it already. What if you have a man who's sterile? I had a shayla, unfortunately. A Talmud of mine in my previous shul, a congregant of mine, my previous shul in Washington Heights, got married, big simcha, good boy, nice girl, got married, and a year after they got married, he gives me a call, he says, I have a zero sperm count, meaning he has semen, but in the semen, there's no actual zera in his semen, and therefore it's impossible for him to naturally father a child. So he was getting involved in all kinds of IVF and other kinds of treatments, and he needed a rabbi to speak to about how to do those treatments. So let me ask you a question. Is he allowed to be motzi zera levatala if we know that there's no sperm in his zera, in his semen? Again, in English, it's better because you have semen and you have zera. They're two different things. In Hebrew, I don't know if you have a different word for the liquid and the zera, the actual zera. In English, we do. If there's no puravu, well, he can't do puravu anyway. He has a zero sperm count, so he can't do puravu anyway. So maybe there's no iser for him to be mashchas zera levatala. On the other hand, if it's one of the other iser, if it's bal tashchis, if it's like losinav, maybe there is an iser of him to be mashchas zera levatala. What about the following? A guy does not have the mitzvah of puravu. I know a goy might have a drabanan of populating the world, but he doesn't have a formal mitzvah of lo puravu. If that's the case, is a goy, according to Torah law, is a goy allowed to be mashchis his zera? I don't think they care what we're going to say, but nevertheless, is it permitted? So now we're going to come into very big machlokas rishonim. And this machlokas rishonim is going to start talk about the first question. Are women subject to the prohibition of being mashkes zera? Their husbands, for example. So there's a gemara that is the foundational gemara that talks about using contraceptives and when and how. And the gemara says, Shalosh nashim esham shos b'moch. We're going to see big machlokas how to translate these words. There are three women who are, if it would be dangerous for them to become pregnant, and they're allowed to use some kind of contraceptive. They could have cotton inserted into their body. There's a big machlokas whether the cotton is inserted into their body before the bia or the cotton is inserted after the bia. But there's some kind of contraception that these women, because it would be dangerous for them to become pregnant, are allowed to involve themselves with. So says Rashi, Tosus in Yevamis, that's Gemara Yevamis. At first, he's going to quote Rashi. Let's look at Rashi first. Pesha kunches mutar l'shamish b'moch. These three women, for whom it's dangerous if they become pregnant, one of them is like a little girl, one of them is somebody else who's somebody who's sick, a woman who's sick. So it's mutar for them to be m'shamish b'moch. What does that mean? It means they're allowed to use this contraceptive because it would endanger them if they would become pregnant. But somebody else, so let's say that assumes that they could put moch into their, this cotton, into their body before bia. So let's be medayik. But everybody else cannot. Wait a second. Aval she'ar nashim aser. Why? Why? Why should a woman be prohibited to put cotton into her body? Who is she? She's a woman. What problem does she have? She can do whatever she wants. It's her body, right? Says the, as Tosis is explaining Rashi, She'ar nashim aser mishum hashchosas zera. Wow. A woman, if she would ruin the husband's zera, that would be a violation that she is violating. Afal gav delo mifkada priya verivya. Even though she's not an obligated in purvu, what do you see from Rashi? You see from Rashi that even though a woman is not mitzvah purvu, she's still bound by the isur of hashchosa zera. What does that tell you? That tells you that the isur of hashchosa zera is not because of bittul purvu. Let's say that again. A woman doesn't have the mitzvah purvu, and yet it's still usur for her to, a regular woman, is usur to be mashchosa zera. Except these three, for because they have the special dispensation because of danger. Now, can I ask you a question? Well, if it's not purvu, so what is the isur of, what is the isur of hashchosa zera? So we had a few other options. Maybe the isur is losina for baltashchis, or some other things. But there's an interesting Avnei Nezer, the Sachachava Rebbe, who, besides being the father of the Shemi Shmuel and gives us great Chassidish Torah, but he's also a tremendous lamdan and writes beautiful tshuvas that are very clearly written and easy to read. And the Avnei Nezer suggests an explanation of what does it mean when Rashi says that if she's not Mitzvah Purvarivya, then why, therefore, but she's still not, even though she's not obligated in Purvu, she's still prohibited to ruin her husband's Zera. Why? Why can't she ruin her husband's Zera? Again, a regular woman. A sick woman is allowed because she's sick, but a regular woman is usher to ruin her husband's Zera, even though she doesn't have Purvu. But if she doesn't have Purvu, then why can't she ruin her husband's Zera? What's wrong? So the Avnei Nezer puts forth a Ran. A Ran is talking about something in a no, Lifnei is causing somebody to do a sin. I don't know if that's causing him to do a sin. I hear your question. I hear your question. For some reason, they're not assuming that there's going to be a sin for him, per se. It's a good point. I'm not sure why that's not the case. Not sure why that's not the case. So there's a discussion. We know the Gemara Kedushin says that it's mitzvah to be mekadesh and isha yourself more than using a shliach. Right? I could send a shliach to mekadesh my wife, but it's better if I do it myself. Why? Mitzvah bo yosem mi b'shlucho. And then the Mishnah says in Kedushin, not only is it proper for me to be mekadesh my wife, myself, and now to shliach, it's also proper for my wife to become mikudeshes directly herself and not to send a shliach because mitzvah bo yosem mi b'shlucho. Can I ask you a question? What mitzvah is there for a woman to get married? She doesn't have a mitzvah pruvu. Why is a mitzvah for a woman to get married yoser ba mi b'shlucha? The Mishnah says that it's a mitzvah ba yosem ribishluch. What mitzvah does a woman have to get married in the first place? So the Ran says that even though women are not obligated in pervu, she should still do it herself. Why? Look what I underlined here. Kosaran, afal gav de itza lo mifkada priya varivya. She's not bound in the mitzvah pervu. Mikomakom mitzvah yeshla. What's her mitzvah? Her mitzvah is that she helps her husband do his mitzvah. Interesting. She doesn't have a mitzvah. But her mitzvah is to help her husband do his mitzvah. Mitzvah yeshla b'masha misayas labal l'kayim mitzvah so. So it's a funny balance. The man has a mitzvah to have kids. So he has a mitzvah to get married. The woman doesn't have a mitzvah, and therefore doesn't have an independent mitzvah neither to have kids, nor therefore not to get married either. But since in order for him to have kids, he has to have a wife, and she's the wife, so she becomes not like obligated in the mitzvah, but she becomes a necessary participatory party in enabling him to do his mitzvah. So therefore it becomes her mitzvah, because she's enabling him to do his mitzvah, and therefore we should also apply mitzvah ba yosem ribishlucha. She should do it herself, she should get mekudeshes herself, and not through a shliach. Says the Avnei Nezer, if we say, like this Ran, that even though a woman is not mitzvah pervu, but she's the designated party to enable and help and aid her husband to fulfill his mitzvah, we could understand why, even though a woman is not mitzvah pervu, she's not allowed to be mashchis, the husband's zera. Why? Because since she has to help him do pervu, she's not obligated herself. And therefore you'd say, oh, she has no problem being mashal zera either. No, but she has to help her husband do the mitzvah. And therefore she destroys her zera. She's not enabling, and in fact she's disabling her husband from doing his mitzvah, pervu. And that might be the explanation in Rashi, why Rashi says that even though there's no mitzvah pervu, there's still usher to be mashal zera. Let's see him say it, the Avnei Nezer say it inside. Vilfize, that a woman has her mitzvah to help her husband fulfill his pervu, Shapir makes sense that Musheres, she's obligated shelo lahashchizera. Why? Keva sheyesh labal, since she's married, he mitzuv apurvu shel baila. It's not that she has a mitzvah pruvu, but she has on her shoulders the onus of her husband's pruvu. And therefore, v'asul lahashchizera habal. That's pshat in Rashi, where Rashi says, even though a woman doesn't have pruvu, she still can't be mashchizera. But you know what's going to come out? Rabosai, if the whole explanation that we just gave is that a wife is obligated to enable her husband to do pervu, listen to the following shaila. Let's say a husband is with a wife, and she doesn't want to have kids, but you can't. She's not going to use a birth control. So they'll have bia. The husband deposits his zera into his wife, and now the wife will quickly go to a nurse and ask the nurse to destroy all the zera that's inside of her, or remove all the zera that's inside of her. Suck it out with a syringe, put some chemical inside that will destroy the zera. Now, the wife won't do it. Would that be permitted if the nurse does it, if the wife asks the nurse to do it? Says that Avnei Nezer, based on the lumdus that we just said, the whole reason why a woman is obligated in mitzvah in hashchas zera is because as a wife she is bound to help her husband do the pervu. But who's bound to help which woman is bound to help her husband do pervu? The wife, not the nurse, not a nurse in an urgent care clinic. So if the wife runs after they have bia, the wife runs over to the urgent care and asks the nurse in the urgent care, please, I don't want to become pregnant, be mashchis the zera that's inside of me. Again, we're not talking about abortion. We're just talking about being mashlis zera right after it was deposited. According to the Sachachavir's lumdis, that really a woman's not mitzvah, but she just has her obligation as her shibud to help her husband. That's only for the wife to her husband has that shibud. But another woman doesn't have any obligation to someone else's husband to help him do his mitzvah pruvu. And therefore, another woman, a nurse, would be able to destroy the zera that was deposited into the wife. Okay, but she's not doing the Maaseh Hashchasa. Yeah, she's engineering that it could happen, but she's not doing the Hashchasa. Look at what he says. Ah, oh, Yanki. She's the Mishaleach, you mean. But ain't Shaleach the Dvar Aveira. So, you know, I don't know if that, especially if the woman's a guy. But even if it's not a guy, I don't think it would be a problem. Chozim, but Atzma Mesima Samoch. If she herself would put in the moch, let's say after the bia, to clean herself up, then it would be awesome for a wife. Aval Ish Acheres She'ein Lo Baal. Let's say it's even a single woman. The nurse is a single woman. So she doesn't have a husband. She's not mitzvah. She has no connection to Puravush. She's an unmarried woman. Ve'ena ba'arvus al Puravush. She doesn't have arvus. There's no women are not an arvus. They don't have Puravu. Ain't Isrim taflet zerashala. It won't be prohibited for the nurse to remove and mess up the zera that the married woman has in her body. That's a real lamdish application. Okay. So this, what we just saw so far, was Shitas Rashi. Shitas Rashi is that women are bound in the Isser of Hashchas Zera Latala. Maybe this is the reason that we saw in the Sachet Shavu Rebbe, that it's because they're bound to their husband, and that therefore they're indirectly not allowed to be Mashchas Zera. But either way, even though they don't have Puravu, they're still also to be Mashchas Zera. But comes Rabbeinu Tam and says, no. Hashchas Zera would be, let's say we're talking about after Bia, to what, take it all out. Put it in cotton after this Bia and take out all the Zera that was inserted. Suck it out with a syringe or clean it out with cotton. That's what we're talking about. That is moch. Moch is cotton. Take cotton and stick it inside and clean it out. That's cotton. Moch is cotton. The word moch is cotton. Not just, we use the concepts of contraceptive because they would use cotton to insert it, to absorb whatever would fall. But cotton, it means cotton even in other contexts. That's Rashi. Rabosai, look at this Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, again, we're talking about, the Gemara is talking about three women who are dangerous to become pregnant. Rabbeinu Tam says, "Delifnei Tashmish, before Tashmish, vaday osalitein shamoch. Before Tashmish, you can't put moch, and she can't put moch into her body, because if that would be the case, then the husband, like one of you said earlier, the husband, I think I don't remember who the Yossi Berish said before, then when the husband's with her, he's being putting his zera onto moch. Dein derech Tashmish bekach, varehu kematul zera al ha'etz v'al havanim." When the husband will be with his wife, if she has moch inside of her, she has kan inside of her body, when he releases into his wife, it's going to be onto the kan, and it's not derech bia, it's going to be aser. Aval, but now look at this, because this is what we need. We're not learning the halachas of contraception here, we're learning the halachas of destroying zera. Aval, says Rabbeinu Tam, im nosenes moch achra tashmish, if she cleans herself out with kan after Tashmish, ain't near a lesser. Why? Says Rabbeinu Tam, Va'isha, the man did it when it was, there was nothing there, so he did it normally. And the woman, when she's cleaning herself out afterwards, Va'isha, shenasenes achakach moch, lo huzhara, ahashchos azera, kevin de lo mifkida apriya virivya. A woman does not have a mitzvah of puravu. So long as the bia was normal, now it's in the woman's body, the woman could do whatever in the world she wants to do with the stuff that's in her body because she's not obligated in puravu. And since she's not obligated in puravu, she doesn't have the mitzvah of hashchas hazel v'atala. Rabbeinu Tam clearly says that the iser of hashchas hazel v'atala is an outgrowth of the mitzvah of puravu. And therefore, a woman who does not have the mitzvah of puravu at all can destroy the zera that's in her body, no problems, no questions, no problem whatsoever. And she could forget about going to a nurse. She could take a syringe and take everything out and throw it in the garbage. She could take a cotton and wipe herself clean from inside, even take out everything from the inside and wipe it all out and throw it into the garbage. Why? Because she's not obligated to the mitzvah of puravu. And therefore, this matter of birth control, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the bia has to be a bia normally a regular bia with a woman with no barrier whatsoever. After the bia is over, the man goes, you know, he leaves the room, and she could do whatever she wants with the zera according to Ravina Tam, because she doesn't have the mitzvah pruvu. That was just explained. The Ran was just brought. The Ran wasn't talking about hashchas and zera. The Ran was just explaining that a woman, although she doesn't have a mitzvah of pruvu herself, she's a misayas her husband to do the mitzvah. And with that, we want to explain Rashi, who says that even though women don't have the mitzvah pruvu, they still can't destroy zera. They can't destroy zera because, you know, they have to help their husband do pruvu. But that's Ran working with Rashi. Comes Rabbeinu Tam and says, yes, she could. She could destroy this. Women are not in the parsha of Hashchas Zera Levatala. They can destroy their own husband's Zera. Why? Because they are not in the mitzvah of Puruvu. And as long as he had a bia, yeah, Pesach, what's that? He obviously doesn't go with that lumdus. Correct. He doesn't go with that lumdus. So, according to this, any woman in the world, every woman in the world is allowed to destroy her husband's Zera. So then, how come the Gemara said, again, this Gemara in Yevamis that talks about contraception, that there are only three women who are allowed to use contraception, use moch? We just said that every woman could use moch afterwards. Oh, so the Rabbeinu Tam says, when the Gemara said, or the Mishnah says, that the three women that are dangerous if they become pregnant, what does it mean that those three women it's dangerous if they become pregnant, that they could use moch? I thought everybody could use moch afterwards. Everybody could clean out their body with cotton afterwards. No, these three women, the Mishnah is saying that these three women, because they are, it's dangerous if they become pregnant, the Mishnah is saying they are obligated to use moch. If they're with their husband, they must. A regular woman could become pregnant. These women, God forbid, we don't want them to become pregnant. It's very dangerous. So therefore, they definitely are obligated to use moch after they're with their husband. But any woman in the world could use moch after she's with her husband because she's not mitzvah in Zera Levatala. So Rabbo said we have a gigantic, raging machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi says, I know that there's no pruvu, but a woman is still prohibited to be bashle Zera. Rabbeinu Tam says they go hand in hand. If there's no pruvu, there's no isur of hashchas zera. Clearly, Rabbeinu Tam understands that the isur of hashchas zera is just because you're being mevatel pruvu. And if you're not going to be mevatel pruvu because you're a woman, for example, then there's no isur of hashchas zera. Let's take this Rabbeinu Tam, who's very clear in his explanation that the isur of hashchas zera is just because you have a mitzvah pruvu, and if you don't have pruvu, then you don't have hashchas zera. So a woman doesn't have pruvu, she doesn't have hashchas zera. What about these other people? What about, according to Rabbeinu Tam, a man who's already fulfilled pruvu? So, should he be allowed to be mashchas zera? What about that guy I told you, that fellow from my old shul, who had zero sperm count, and therefore is obviously pater and pruvu? So is he allowed to, also, just like a woman, according to Rabbeinu Tam, could be mashchas zera? Could that student of mine masturbate lechatchila because he doesn't have pruvu? What about a guy who's not obligated in pruvu? Clearly, according to Rabbeinu Tam, just like a woman's not obligated in pruvu, certainly a guy is not. Similarly, a guy is not obligated in pruvu. I would assume he's also allowed to be mashal zaro, according to this Rabbeinu Tam. That's a fascinating kula of Rabbeinu Tam. We'll have to see how we paskin in this shaila. But the Rishonim continue to delve into this machlokas that we've been discussing. And the Ramban asks a very interesting question. The Ramban is assuming, like Rashi, not like the leniency of Rabbeinu Tam we just saw, but like the original Rashi, that even though I know women don't have the mitzvah pruvu, but they still can't destroy the Zera. Afal pish ena mitzvah al pruvu v'rivya, v'rasha minatoli batel. You don't have to get married. A woman never has to get married. If a woman wants to stay single for her whole entire life, it is muta lechatchila for her. I don't know if they want to, but if they want to, they can. A woman doesn't have to get married. A man has to have children, not a woman. But nevertheless, says Rabbi Ramban, it's asr hi b'hashchasa. She's still not allowed to be mashal zero. That was like Rashi that we saw. Asks the Ramban a very simple question. Wait a second. You're telling me that a woman is not allowed to be mashlis zera, but a woman we know is allowed to cause herself to become sterile. If a woman wants to drink a koshel ikarin, a potion, a medication that makes her sterile, a man's not allowed to do that because he has a mitzvah puravu. Of course, you're not allowed to become sterile by doing some mutilation to the reproductive organs. That's a different iser of sirus. But if you don't mutilate the reproductive organs, you just take a drink, what they call koshel ikarin, that make a person barren, a woman is allowed to do that. Can I ask you a question? How come she's allowed to do that, but she's not allowed to be mashlis zera? Asks the Ramban. Says the Ramban, Says the Ramban, Hasa mitzah achrisi hishins tabal hasiris. Mafima says, that drinking the koshel ikarin is a different issue. That's a question of, are you allowed to do serious or not serious? And maybe a woman doesn't have the issue of serious. Aval b'hashchasa, but to destroy zera, kol basar ksiv. Where does the Torah say kol basar? If you remember, by the Mabel, it says, why did Hashem send the Mabel? Ki hishchis kol basar es darko al ha'aretz. And one of the explanations of ki hishchis kol basar es darko al ha'aretz was that they were shalom v'fixel v'atala. Kol basar means all human, all flesh. Well, guess what? 50% of humanity are women. And yet it says, kol basar, destroy the zera. That means, says the Ramban, that even women, from the fact that the Torah says, kol basar hishchis zara'o al-ha'aretz, hishchis dakol aretz, which was referring to zera v'atala. So the Ramban understands that therefore even women, who are not obligated in puravu, on one hand, are still prohibited to be mashchis zera, and it's learned from where? From the pasuk by the Mabel that hishchis kol zaro, kol basar hishchis darkol haaretz, and therefore every human being is bound by the prohibition of hashchis zera, even a woman, even though she's not obligated in puravu. What a chiddush of the Ramban. So the Ramban tells that even though a woman does not have the mitzvah puravu, she still has the mitzvah of she still has the chiyuv to not destroy the zera because of this pasuk by the Mabel. Fine. Based on what we just said, what should come out? Based on what we said, what should come out? If even though you're not obligated to puravu, you still can't destroy the zera because that's what it said in the Mabel, that it's usher, that all the people in the Mabel destroy because they're mashal zera, everybody, even the women, well, what would it be about a man who already had children? We said, oh, he fulfilled puravu already. Maybe he could be shofir zera v'atala. So says the Ran, no, just like the Ramban said that even women were bound, even though they're not bound in puravu, but they were still part of Kol Zaro. So says Ramban, I feel Mishakim Priya Varivya. Varashaim and Hatoli Vatal, according to Torah, he doesn't have to have more children, but it's Asr Hu Behashchasa. Because of, again, the Torah says by the Mabel Kol Basar, that it's Asr for all humanity, all the flesh, including women, including men who have already had children. Kol Zaro, Kol Basar is Asr to Mashle Zara. Okay. That is, again, so that's a machlokas. We have the famous kula of Rabbeinu Tam, that a woman is allowed to be mashal zaro since she's not in puravu. And the other Rishonim, who are all assuming like Rashi, the Ramban, the Ran, the Rashba, all say that even though a woman does not have puravu, she is still usher to be mashal zara. Fine. There's an interesting tshuva that we saw last week. I think we saw the question, but the tshuva that was present in the Binyan Tzion was Rav Yaakov Edlinger, who lived in the mid-1800s, and he was the Rebbe of Rav Hildesheimer and Rav Shamsha Lefel Hirsch. Interesting, by the way, he was, again, among the Poskei Hador, hands down, even though he's a little bit of a more modernish type of person. modernish in the sense of he was the Rebbe of, as you can imagine, he was Western Europe, he was in Berlin, I believe, or Altona, whatever this was. And he was an editor of a newspaper. He had two newspapers, a German newspaper, a German newspaper, and a Hebrew newspaper. Wow, both of those points are interesting. Neither of them were Yiddish. One in German, one in Hebrew. And he was pretty much the Posek Hadar of Yaakov Ettlinger, the Aruch Laner, Bikur Yaakov, and the Shas HaTshuva's Binyan Tzion, which is a very strong sefer. So he points out a number of applications to what we are discussing. The question that he had was, I think we saw the question last week, was a husband... What was the Shaila? A woman was not allowed to become pregnant. A woman was very sick, and the doctor says if she becomes pregnant, she's going to die. So they wanted to use some kind of contraceptive to enable him to be with his wife, but still that she shouldn't become pregnant. So again, they didn't have the pill that we have now. They didn't have other options that we have now. They didn't have a diaphragm that we have now. So the question was basically... whatever the specifics of the question. So in the context of that discussion of a man being with his husband in a way that he won't be able to impregnate her, so Rav Yaakov Ettlinger says a bunch of situations that you can't say that Hashchas HaZera is going to be mut in this case. Look at the three cases he describes. Akar v'sris, she'enur ala ha'olid. A man who has a zero sperm count. Right. A man who has a zero sperm count. Says Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, do you think the Atu Hashchas HaZera Toli B'Ibur, the Isra of Hashchas HaZera is only for someone who could have become pregnant? Dimken Akar V'Sris, you have a man who is barren, or a man who is unable to Mutter L'Hashchas HaZera, so you're Mutter to be Mashchas HaZera. So a guy with a zero sperm count, you think that makes him Mutter? No. That answers one of our questions. Second, the Gemara tells us that the only kind of Zera that is Molid is Zera that's Yorah Kechetz. If it shoots out, but if it just drips from the person, from the man, that's not the kind of Zera that would impregnate a woman. It has to shoot out to be able to go up into wherever it has to, up into the fallopian tubes, let's say. I don't know how it works in biology, but that's what the Gemara says. So let's say a man has some condition that his Zera drips down and doesn't shoot out. So according to the Gemara, he can't impregnate his wife. He can't have children. Are you going to tell me, asks the Aruch Laner of Yaakov Ettlinger, that such a man who has the Zera that just drips instead of shooting out, that he's allowed to be Mashal Zera? Of course not. And furthermore, somebody who already fulfilled Peruvu, you're going to tell me that he's allowed to be Mashal Zera? Of course not. Why? El Avadai, it's clear to me, says the Aruch Laner, it's not just Talia Pruvu. It's own Isser. It's nothing. It's not an application or extension of Pruvu. It's its own Isser. Afilim Hazer Ein Roy Laholid. And even if he doesn't have to have children, the only one who maybe would be mutter for is somebody who is not in the mitzvah of having children. In other words, maybe a woman who's not mitzvah Pruvu. Maybe she doesn't have an issue of Hashchas HaZera. But a man who has a mitzvah peruvu, I don't care if he himself as an individual, for whatever technical or medical reason, can't be molid, but he's not going to be able to be Hashchas HaZera. Only a woman, because she's not in the mitzvah peruvu at all. And now he says something a little bit called scary. Even though we don't really know what the real issur is. V'hein emes, shalom matzanu azhar mefureshes. We acknowledge that it's a big Avera, but we don't really know what the Avera is. I explained in my Chidushin to Maseches Nida that maybe the Azhara is from Lo Bal Tashchis. We said that was one of the options I had earlier, that you're not allowed to be Mashchis, you know, food and trees and wealth. You can't be Mashchis your body. So maybe it's also like being Mashchis your body. Or maybe, he says, again, he doesn't know what the real source for. We know it's a big aver. We don't even know what the source is. Oh, shahalach moshe misinehu. Maybe there is no pasuk in the Torah that tells us you can't be mashchis zera. Maybe it's halach moshe misinehu. But either way, it has nothing to do with making her pregnant or not. even if he's not going to make her pregnant, it's still going to be an iser to be mashris zera. That is the end of this sugya. As far as women's obligation, are women or not, are women obligated or not? A big machlokas rishonim. It seems that most rishonim say a woman is prohibited to be mashris zera. That's what it seems most rishonim hold. The only one who's mekel is the Rabbeinu Tam, who's got broad shoulders. Rabbeinu Tam was the posek hador in his generation. Rabbeinu Tam said that, certainly for Ashkenaz, Rabbeinu Tam said that a woman could be mashlis her zera entirely. She could do whatever she wants after the bia, as long as the bia has to be regular, but afterwards she could destroy it completely. Okay, so that was the first half of the shiur. The second half of the shiur, yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that I didn't research. I thought I would research, but I didn't get up to. I assume it's in the next little bit that I have to get to. That is the most important question, halacha lemaisa, that is dealt with by the poskim, the very contemporary poskim, that if you just give him a cup, and he'll masturbate and be most of the zera into the cup. But it's for the purpose of, that's the only way he could have a baby. So it's the biggest kiyum of puravu. But at the same time, it's still doing it with his hands. So that's going to really be an inverse application of the nafkaminas that we had before. Look at what we had before. Correct. So look at the reasons. Why can't you do shrich zelavata? We said because of pritul puravu. So according to this, Could he be motzi zera intentionally for an IVF treatment into a cup? So, of course, that's not bittul puravu, that is puravu, it should be mutter. However, if you hold that it's some kind of lo sinaf, it sounds like that activity has something wrong with it. If you hold this vinishmartim, you call davara, that this activity has something inherently usur about it, might be usur. Baltashis, we could argue. Maybe it's not baltashis because you're not sending it to waste. To the contrary, you're using it for great use, to build, you know, to impregnate the woman through the IVF treatment. I'm not going to be able to answer you now. The post can obviously discuss that. I will have to do more research and then get back. Okay, let's finish off the shiur with one little bit to finish this if that we learned, which is Simon Chav Gimel Sif Aleph, the halach of marrying a ketana. Now, I know we typically don't marry off our daughters when they're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. In the olden days, they did. I have a guy in my shir who's from Iran. His family's from Iran. I think he said his grandmother got married when she was, I think she was 12 or something like that. Maybe she was already bas mitzvah. Yeah, I think his grandmother, his great-grandmother got married when she was like 12. But here, the Gemara Nida talks about the following. It talks about, there's a little bit of a hashkafa Gemara, but you'll see how we're going to see the halachas very quickly. Hagerim? Is anyone on the call Ger? Okay. I have to speak sensitively. You'll see why. V'hamesachak b'tinokos. Those who play with little girls. We'll see what that means. Ma'akunas ha-mashiach. These two types of people hold back Mashiach. What in the world does this line mean? Bishlam a gerim hold back Mashiach. You think by being a geir that brings Mashiach closer? There's another yid? No. Damar Reb Chelbo, kashen gerim liyisrael kesapachas. Gerim are difficult to klal Yisrael. Like sapachas, I think, is like tzaras, right? They cause challenges to klal Yisrael. But what does it mean? Mesachakim b'tinokos, somebody who plays with little girls. Says the Gemara, somebody who marries a ketana, el denesivi ketanos delavanos aludininhu. A person who marries a ketana and she can't have bear children because she's still physically immature. So somebody who marries a 9-year-old, a 10-year-old girl, he's the one who's holding back Mashiach. Zok to Rashi, denesivi ketanos, he marries a ketana, v'roi hulolad. He's 15 years old, 18 years old, 20 years old. He's able to be molded. He can be molded and bring more neshamas into the world. The next 3 years, from the time she's 9 till 12, she's not going to be able to have children. So what's the point? So what's wrong with that? So in 3 years, she will have children. The Amr Rabbi Yossi, Ein Ben David Ba, Mashiach Ein Kana Kam, at sheyichlu kol haneshamos, or until all the neshamos that are stored in that storehouse called Guf. There's a storehouse in Shamayim with all the neshamos held there, and that storehouse is called Guf. And until all the neshamos that are stored in that storehouse in Shamayim come out of that storehouse called Guf and appear in this world, Ben David can't come. So if a person has the ability to be molid, and he marries a girl for 3 years, because she's 9, for the next 3 years won't be able to be molid, so he's holding Mashiach from coming, because he's supposed to bring another neshama from that storehouse in Shamayim called Guf into this world, and he's not, so he is delaying Mashiach. And he quotes a pasuk that indicates this point. So Rashi, Shebaguf, it's a cheder, it's a certain room. Ki guf shem makom hamayuchel neshamas hasin liyos nol. There's a place in Shemaim where all the neshamas that are eventually to be born come. Excuse me. And he quotes a pasuk that relates to this. So what do we have here? We have a gemara nida. It sounds like a hashkafadika gemara. It says you shouldn't marry a katana because you're not doing pruvu, and therefore you're withholding the neshamas that should be brought to the world, and you're delaying their coming to the world. Based on this, we have a Rambam. But you'll see that based on this, the Rambam is not going to be so smooth. The Rambam, which we saw a part of it last week, we're going to focus on the second part. The Rambam says, "Asur lahotzi shech lazel v'atala." We know that. Lefichach. What does lefichach mean? Therefore, meaning I'm going to take the issa that I just told you, and that will be the reason for the following. Lefikach lo ya adam dashmi b'fnim v'zor mi b'chutz. A person can't be with his wife and release outside of his wife. Of course, because that's zera vata, that's obvious. That's eranonan. Ve, meaning another reason, another application of the issa of hashach zera vata is lo yisa ktana she'enu re'uya leholid. Don't marry a ketana who can't yet have children. Can I ask you a question? That's zera levatala? Wow. The Rambam just said that the iser to marry a ketana is because marrying a ketana is hosah zera levatala. It's a natural bia without any interruption, without any physical barrier from a man into a woman's body. She's 11 years, she's 10 years old, and she's 9 years old. But he says that's the reason why it's awesome to marry a ketana, and it's within the context of marriage. Kiddushin, chuppah, kiddushin, all everything from the Rosh Hashiva said the brachas at the Sheva brachas. She just happened to be a ketana. He says that's zera levatala. That's what the Rambam's mashma. That's why you're not allowed to marry a ketana. Rashi said, look what Rashi said. Rashi said, why you're not allowed to marry a ketana? Nimtza batumi pri verivya. Wait a second, that's not what the Rambam's saying. We seem to have machlokas, Rashi and Rambam. Rashi is saying, the Gemara says you can't marry a ketana. Says Rashi, why not? Because you're not doing puravu. The Rambam says, because hashchas is elevatala. Which one is it? Why can't, if I say, I want to marry my next door neighbor, she's 9 years old, Rabbi, can I marry my next door neighbor? I'm going to say, no, why not, Rabbi? So will you say, because you have a mitzvah puravu? Or will you say, because it's hashchas is elevatala? Seems to be machlokas, Rashi and Rambam. No, this is Nisuin. Kiddushin Ketana is fine. They did that all the time. We're just talking about Nisuin and having the beer. You could do Kiddushin and then not have a beer, you could be in Kaddish when she's a month old because you want to get her married to the Rosh Hashiva's son or Reichman's son, either one, whichever is your, whatever you're looking for, whether you're looking for Torah or money. And then 12 years later, they'll both be mature and they'll, that's when they'll move in together. It's not in Misurin Labia. It's not the right thing to do. It's not in Misurin Labia. It's not in Misurin Labia. In Misurin Labia is like, it's Mamish Aser. It's not the right thing. It's Ma'akivis Mashiach, right? That's how the Gemara said it. That's not called in Misurin Labia. Right. The Bia is fine. It's just the, not going to cause a pregnancy, and that's what we don't like. Correct. Thank you for Be'ish for. Right, but it's not, the Maisa Bia is not the Issa. It's the fact that she can't become pregnant with the Bia that bothers us. But the Maisa Bia is not the Bia Issa. It's not a Bia Issa. Like, you have a Nida. Nida is a Maisa Bia that's Issa. If you have by your sister-in-law, your sister is a Maisa Bia that's Issa. Well, let's assume that we're talking about that Kiddushin has to be with a gadol. I think Kiddushin has to be with a boy who's a gadol. I don't think you have a katan who's Makadesh. Well, then she's probably a gadola then, by definition. She's an 11-year-old gadola. So Rabosai, we're finishing up now, and we're just going to see how the Shulchan Aruch quotes. We're finally up to the end of the Sefer Shulchan Aruch. We learned the first half last week. The Shulchan Aruch told us that Zerel Vatala is a big Avera, and therefore your person shouldn't do like Erva Onan. And the Shulchan Aruch concludes, V'lo yisa ktana she'en ru'yu laholid. And we saw the Nachlat Siyut points out, we pointed out that it seems to be a machlokas, whether the reason why you can't marry a ktana, is it because of Bittul Puravu, or is it because Hashachas Zerel Vatala seems to be machlokas? And either way, it's also to marry a single. It's also, you should definitely marry a single woman, but it's also to marry a child, a katana. Next week, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to talk about other applications of things that are similar to Hashchas Zel Vatal, not actual Hashchas Zel Vatal, but other things that relate to the Yetzer Hara. That is the next if. And thank you all for joining us today. Second.